Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Set things in order. Be encouraged. Agree with one another. Be at peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, Trinity Sunday. This is the day that we look at the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. One God, three persons. Impossible for us to understand with our human reasoning. We try to describe it with the word triune, which means three in one. It's a term not in the Bible. It's a term that we concocted trying to describe what the Bible says about God. So this morning, we look at the Holy Trinity. We could say that Paul tells us, behold the gifts of the triune God. Those gifts are related in verse 14. We begin, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of the triune God, grace. The work of Jesus. His life. Came down from heaven, took upon himself the form of a human being, lived on this earth for about 33 years. He became human so he could be under his Father's laws just like we are. Those laws, our Heavenly Father said, you must obey. You do that, I will be your God, you will be my people. He also says, the soul that sins, it will die. So those who disobey those laws, he said, you bring eternal death upon yourself. And that's where we are. Because we daily sin much and deserve nothing but punishment. So the Father who loves us sent his Son to do something for us. To obey those laws perfectly. And he did. Not because we deserved it, but because he's gracious. He also came to die. In the Old Testament, God told the people, sacrifice a lamb to atone for the sins of the people. If it worked, it would only have to have happened one time, but it happened over and over again because it didn't succeed. But it had a purpose. It pointed to the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, who would be sacrificed. And so Jesus came, lived, and he died on the cross of Calvary, not because he deserved that death, but because we do. And when he did, he took care of all the sins of the people, all the people of the world, past, present, and future. And he was laid in a grave. But he didn't stay there. Unlike everybody else who once they die, they're done. He overcame death and the devil with his resurrection. And he said, now because I have risen, you too will one day rise to live with me in glory. All of this happens not because of anything we have done, but due to God's grace. And that grace was evident in everything that Jesus did for us. Our response, finally, brothers, rejoice, knowing that your sins are paid for, knowing that your sins are forgiven. What a joy it is for me when I talk to someone who has been very, very self-conscious about a sin that they have committed or he or she has committed, and they come to me thinking, asking, will God really forgive me? And then I said, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? I do. then I can tell you your sin is forgiven. And I've seen many people weep. Not sadness, joy. Because they know their sins are forgiven. No matter how big it might have been, because Christ died on the cross. If they're forgiven, and that person is filled with joy. Be encouraged, agree with one another, means oneness in faith. We are all children of God because of what Christ has done. Who belongs to that holy Christian church? White people, black people, yellow people, red people, rich, poor, young, old. If you believe, you are all part of the same family. And so he says, be encouraged. Set things in order. Get rid of any problems that you might have. Be positive. Knowing that God, in his love for you, has made you children of God and members of his special family. And be at peace. Not peace with one another. I don't think that's possible. We all have our different opinions, right? And we don't always agree. But there is a peace that we all have. And that's peace with God. He no longer is angry at us. Because of what Christ has done, we are now children of God. And our Father in heaven says, I am your Father. I love you. And I will take care of you. We'll look at that next. But because he says that, we're not afraid of him. We're not afraid of Judgment Day. Because we are at peace with God. Behold the gifts of the triune God, the love of God, our Father's love. God knew when he created Adam and Eve that they would sin. He knew that because of their sin, they would be doomed on their own to eternal damnation. But he loved his prized creation, and so he told his son, you'll have to go down to the earth, and we have looked at what his son has done for us. That was his father's plan. That wasn't made up by Jesus. That was made up by the Father, who wanted all people to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So Christ came and made it possible for all people of all time to go to heaven. That was God's plan. But he does more. He didn't just do that plan. He said, now you people must live on this earth. And life won't be easy. But he says, when times get tough, don't be afraid. Don't give up. Because I am with you. Just as we saw or heard in the creation account, how God gave to animals and mankind enough food to eat, he eventually gave them a wonderful garden to live in, and he said, after you sin, I'll still be with you. And with the people of Israel, yeah, at times he had to punish them because of their rebellion against him, but he was always there, and when they repented, he took care of them. And so he says to us also, I'll take care of you. I'll make sure that you stay in the faith. I'll make sure that you remain children of God. I'll make sure you have enough to eat, you have enough to drink. I'll make sure that you have friends. And I'll make sure that you have enough to get by to live in this world. He won't give you more than you need, but he won't give you less than you need either. He'll give you what you can handle. I had a friend up in Wisconsin. This was many years ago, but I think it's still valid today. He said, I don't ever want to win the lottery. He said, for one thing, if I do, I have to change my phone number because every time Dick and Harry's going to be calling me for money. But he said, that's not the real reason. He said, the real reason is I'm happy with how God's taking care of me. I don't need any more. And yet when I worked in a grocery store and I looked at these people on food stamps, who talked about how poor they were, and yet they would go up to the counter and they'd buy $50 worth of lottery tickets. We might become rich. They weren't satisfied with what God had done for them. They thought they could do better. God says, as children of God, be happy with how I've taken care of you, and I will never let you alone. So we trust God. We also thank God. How often? Every day. In the morning, I thank God, you brought me through the night. Thank you. In the evening, I say, thank you, God, you brought me through the day and you gave me the ability to do some good things. But above all, I say, thank you that you have made me your child in an era of life. We do this every day because the gift of the triune God is God's love for us. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Fellowship. What does the Holy Spirit do? He brings you to faith. He keeps you in the faith. We are told all what Christ has done for us, but then he says, if you want to benefit from my work, you must believe. Something you cannot do by yourself. No man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He is the one who brings you to faith, who works that faith in you. He is the one that stands by your side, making sure that that faith is still there. And so when times get tough and I say, I don't know if I trust you anymore, Holy Spirit says, oh, you will. I'll make sure your faith is still there. And I'll cultivate it. Whenever you read my word, whenever you read the Bible, I'm there to strengthen that faith that you need to remain children of God and heirs of life. Fellowship with God. We can talk to God. What is prayer? Simple term, talking to God. How big should the prayer be? Well, the Pharisees in Jesus' day thought the more words, the better it sounds, and so they would pray forever. But we don't have to do that, do we? We talk to God. I mentioned one way. Thank you. Very simple, very short, but full of meaning. We use written prayers. Our general prayer in the morning is a little bit longer. It covers a lot of topics. Good. The disciples said to the Lord, teach us to pray. And so we have the Lord's Prayer. Many schools, we have Luther's prayers, morning prayer and evening prayer. Written prayers are good, but they're not the only kinds of prayers. Whenever you want to talk to God, he says, do it. You can do it with a lot of words or you can do it with a few words. You can do it in the closet or you can do it around the table. Wherever you have a need or whenever you have a need to talk to God, do it. Because you have fellowship with God and we know he will listen to our prayers. Fellowship with our fellow believers. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. We don't see the holy kiss much today, do we? I would probably compare that today to a hug. Your friends, you hug one another. It's not just a gesture. It's because you love that person. You care about that person. And those who are members of the Church of God say, we care about all of you. All the saints greet you. The people in Corinth had their ups and downs. Sometimes they thought they were the only ones that were having problems. Paul let them know, you're not the only ones. As children of God, you will have problems. There are many, many other people who want you to know that they too are struggling, but that the Lord has been with them. And so he says, all the saints greet you. And they say the same for you today. You don't hear them, but they're out there. Most prayers include all believers at one time or one place or another. Be one with them. One in faith. One in doctrine. One in action. The Holy Spirit works to make that possible. One God, three persons, the triune God. All three persons work for us. Jesus made our salvation possible. The Father takes care of us. The Holy Spirit keeps our faith in Him strong. We are God's children because of them. To God be the glory. Amen.